Well, Christie, welcome home.
Thank you very much.
Very good job. All right, we'd like to welcome to our board meeting tonight. We apologize for the delay. We had a little technical difficulty, so thank you very much for trying to get us back into the world of technology, but obviously that's not going to work, so thank you for your patience. I am very back from my fantastic trip, and I brought a little piece of New Zealand back with me. These are original Australian cookies, my favorite. I'm sorry I don't have a warm Milo to go with it, which is my favorite way, so please enjoy it. And if you don't like them, please don't eat any more, because I do.
I'll take them home to my husband. He loves
Australian stuff. What do you put with them? Did you say jam with them? Milo. It's like a warm hot chocolatey thing. It's very, very tasty because it melts the inside. Enjoy it.
I'm going to see if the difference in it diet.
They're so good. Okay, and we're going to start our work session today with a presentation on Logan High School graduate data. We'll turn the time over to Mark, and we will stretch this further.
They are very good.
They're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm over here just a minute to say that, you know, when we had our graduation and one of the questions you had was, what about those that didn't quite make it? That's what we're going to be reporting on today, the students that they're working with. By the new graduation requirements, when we talk about completer, high school completer, we have until September 30th of the year following the graduation date to be able to work with students to get them to a completer status. Remember that when we look at a graduation rate, it is different than a dropout rate, because those, we still have students, we have approximately 20 students that are special needs students that stay with us until their 25th birthday. Those students, they don't graduate with their class, which most of them do not, so they can have the services provided to them, are put into the non-completer side. So it's an unfortunate situation. That group specifically, we have a large group, we have, like I said, over 20 students that we work with diligently, and yet they, on the statistics side, don't show as completers, ever. And that's very unfortunate. But within the rules, this is what we're doing, so, but I do want to acknowledge both Shane, Jim, and Jill for their work and their staff's work on this process. It has been wonderful to watch them coalesce and really change the direction of a school, knowing who the students are, figuring out ways that they can assist them in ways that we've not utilized before. And I owe them a lot, and I appreciate working with them, and I will turn the time now over to Shane.
Thank you. When we were discussing in the spring, we talked about, we had 21 students that we were hoping, we were polling for, we were trying to get to the point where they would be able to walk with their class, but they did not. So I just want to report out where those 21 kiddos are. Please know that we as a school know them by name, not by numbers, but for the sake of FERPA and everything else, we'll just share the numbers with you. But each of these kids means something to us because they have a name and we still are polling for them. So out of those 21 students, we had three that dropped out. We had three that downright even used those terms, dropping out. One of those, just to show you kind of even the level of what we do when they tell us that, one of them got married in May and moved out of her home, and then over the summer she and her husband moved out of the state. So, you know, that's one that we probably aren't going to be able to track from there on, but I thought that was pretty good that we were able to even identify what had happened with her over the summer. We have two kiddos that we have moved into our adult ed program. So they are still going to be working towards either a GED or a diploma. I know that they are working in that adult ed program to figure out which track is going to be best for them. What do they want to do? Where are we going to go? How far were they? How close were they to graduation? And our emphasis is always if we can get them to that graduated status, even if it's an adult ed, it's not going to count towards our cohort. We still want to see that happen. We have two students that were included in that were exchange students. So they've gone back to their country and are completing their schooling there where they're at.
Why do we have to count them?
Because they come in classified as a senior student. So I believe that's the state takes those out of our pool.
But they still don't count for our completer.
But they don't.
And they still count as part of the non-completer.
So that's another one of those unfair parts of the mandate because there's
something we can do
about it. Yeah. Except for not allow exchange students, which.
Which is bad for our kids here as well.
Right.
So, yeah. We had one homeschooler. So, again, that student is on, I believe. We tried to find out if they had completed their homeschooling and were moving on to college.
Is that a female?
Yes.
She is going to BYU Lehigh.
Okay.
Full ride scholarship.
Okay. So we figured that, you know, who she was, that chances were that she's on to a university.
But we can't count that, though.
No.
She didn't technically graduate.
Okay.
But she took advantage of some courses with us, so that's why she was on the list. But
right.
It, again, it's one of those very unfortunate things.
We have seven students within that 21 that are special ed, and they are returning next year. So they will be coming back and continuing at Logan High School. Seven special ed kiddos that will be coming back to us next year to continue to work on their program. We had six students that were doing summer work that we have set up to come in and do a couple different things. Several of the students were given packets. Contact is still being made to get them to see if they are making that final push to get those makeup credits that they need to. Other students, we had a couple of students that we put on our new APEX online learning system. And I think that the report that we have back is that was awesome. And you know that's our biggest celebration. Then I'll tell you some stories about it. But our biggest celebration is one of those kiddos graduated today. So Mrs. Cooley was able to come and present him with his diploma, and superintendent was there, and we got to celebrate with their family his graduation. I thought it was really interesting in talking with Dad just a little bit because Dad has helped this young man out as much as any father has, and has really pushed him and encouraged him to be the best, has gone through his ups and downs with him. And the one comment that he made to me, and I overheard him saying it to Marshall as well, is this program's not going away, is it? You know, now, I know that at this point you only have one that completed it, but it's a success, so you're not going to let it fall off just because we have one. I mean, he was legitimately concerned that this worked for his son, and he wanted to make sure that it was going to be available for others. And his wife even talked to me about, hey, have you thought about this way of marketing it and trying to get more kids involved in this program, because they really saw the benefits of it. And so, a lot of thanks goes to Dave Long as well, because he helped get the program going and initiated.
Not to the program, but to the students. I think they've more than planned this. I had some conversation with Donald Brown, who facilitated these kids that were doing these programs over the summer. And there's a reason some of these kids didn't graduate. They're really struggling in a lot of areas. They don't want any shortcuts. They are really pushing themselves, and they are determined to stay on whatever resources we've provided for them some of these kids felt like for the first time somebody was being honest with them about where they were at and their abilities and challenging them to a level that they should be challenged at. So it's like the kid that you say, oh, you only need to take one lap. These kids want to take the four laps and do the mile. They don't want to just do one lap. And they felt like this was giving them the opportunity to do the four laps on their pace. So I thought that was a big win with what we did. So.
And our goal is to continue with those that have not finished, as well as offering our APEC solution as a credit recovery option for our kids during the year. And to that end, we are actually doing some training this Thursday with our counseling staff so that they're aware of what that option is that's out there and how they can help facilitate that and even getting in and looking at the system, how it works. So, you know, APEC is the system that we brought to Wyoming when I was there in order to counteract our dropout issue that we had. And we had such great success with that you know, when it became available and through Dave and Marshall, we were able to really jump on that and get some stuff rolling. So we were excited about that and huge celebration today to have a graduate. That just made our summer.
How many of these do you think that are still in the pipeline do you think will graduate by September?
Realistically, yeah. I don't know that any more of them will. I don't know that they will.
There's four that Alma felt were really trying still, but we don't know that they're
so.
Yeah. Which means at that point we would transition over to the OPEC, and then we'll be
right.
That's going to be the generally right. But the sooner we can catch all of these kids into some track for a graduation certificate, the better. So we minimize a 39 or a 49-year-old person coming back, which is what our current adult ed program, a lot of those, they've been out for 10, 20 years, and then it's really hard. The longer that they're away from the schooling, the harder it is for them to be able to get the diploma.
And with what we've set up now, we can do just what Shane's saying, as a credit recovery option right away. We don't have to wait to get them into credit recovery. So there's no need to wait for summer to be the moment to start that. We can start them earlier in the year if we know they need that.
And not necessarily need to go to South Campus to get the credit recovery, correct?
Right.
So can you just clarify what the APEC is? I don't think we've had...
APEC is an online learning platform. It's online classes. Sponsored through us. We are still the teachers of record. So basically it's just the curriculum and the platform. But it's actually our teachers that run the classes.
It's like you bought a textbook, but it's all online.
So it's not, what's it, like EHS? Not EHS?
No,
it's not EHS.
Oh.
No. It started as a company that was giving AP credit to kids and trying to meet the need of AP students, but they've since broadened their offerings significantly to where we can offer credit recovery and do interventions with their software as well as the AP credit needs.
So is that potentially going to replace EHS for our students? Could they use APEC instead of EHS?
They could use it in general, they could use it with.
Oh.
It's not an either or. You can do both.
If we do use it, and I think if we are offering the course, you know, I think that helps us retain our students into our building versus having, you know, the student, the funding, the everything else that goes with that. You know, we would then have the option to do it in-house rather than.
And does that count towards the teachers that do that? Is that like extra, do the extra pay?
You know, we have some great teachers that did get paid this summer, like Alma was paid this summer to help facilitate that. And the way that we will run it throughout the year will actually be through our youth in custody. Those teachers that are out there, will become the teacher of record for the courses that we'll be offering. Is that right, Dave? Yeah.
Which is why the counselors need to be aware of that offering.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And our South kids can also use it.
Absolutely.
We're still in the piloting phase for this. We're seeing how it works for us. We're kicking the tires and seeing where we're at with it. But it has a very positive effect already. And I think it will continue to use more and more.
The other item that we wanted to visit with you tonight about stems back to our discussions that we had last school year, and it is bringing to you our proposed attendance policy. As you recall, last year there were so many hiccups and constraints and problems that the current policy was not able to be maintained. And so this is the revised policy. What we did, I'm going to let Jim kind of talk to you about the policy itself because he spent most of the time putting it together. But we always want to include the research in on everything that we do. So last spring we started working with Dr. Scott Ross from Utah State University, and he's a behaviorist. And so he's a professor that's been out working with various schools all over on positive behavior interventions, trying to find positive ways to change students' behaviors. In our discussions with Dr. Ross, we were fully committed to those positive behavior interventions, but it became very clear in our early on discussions with him that he's pretty clear that you have to have both sides of the coin. You know, you have to have the positive nature, but you also have to have the consequence side. And they have to be clearly defined and students are aware of what it is. Through the research and everything that we did with him and on our own, we established that the number one issue that Logan High faces and that schools as a whole face is truancy. Students not being excused by parents to go to a doctor's appointment, but students that just choose to skip class. I'm not ready for the test, I'm not going to go. And so, as you reviewed it, I used that myself a few times. But as you read through this, you'll find that that's really where the focus and that the crux of this policy is focusing in on the truancy. Now we understand that tardiness is a problem that needs to be addressed. Generally, missing a class is something that needs to be addressed. As we did our freshman survival days with our freshmen a couple weeks ago, or it was just last week, wasn't it? We really talked to them a lot about attendance and how important it is that when you're not there and you're absent because of a doctor's appointment or something like that, how important it is for you to do the work to get the notes. It's not the teacher's responsibility. So, you know, really, we feel that this policy is kind of a shared policy. There's some responsibility that falls on the students, there's some responsibility that falls on the teachers, there's some responsibility that falls on the administrators, there's some responsibility that falls on the parents. And so we kind of feel like this is a really good one. What we did is we ended up going to we probably looked at 5-6 different attendance policies that kind of incorporated everything from no attendance policies to very strict. And I think we kind of have landed in the middle. Our two primary policies that we looked at was Spanish Fork High School. The principal at Spanish Fork was just named the High School Principal of the Year for the state of Utah. And a lot of what he did as we listened to him talk was, they set up a pretty concrete attendance policy. They included the positive side of things, but then they made that a focus of what they were doing on top of some of the things that we're already doing and starting intervention systems and stuff like that. So we looked at their policy, and then the other one that we looked at that really has good statistics when you look at them is Skyview High School. So right here. So we had a number of discussions with Dave Swenson and with his assistant. principals, and with Tim Smith, he's the one that's running their attendance up there, and was able to glean a lot of information from them. They have evolved their own attendance policy, and they're starting a new one this year. When we looked at what they're starting this year, we realized we're not at that point. They had to do a lot of work within their staff and a lot of work within their students to get to where they're at now. And so what we did is we looked at their older policy that they're just moving away from that was successful and a building block for them to get where they're at. And that focus was on truancies. So Jen, you want to talk a little bit about?
Want me to add something?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm obviously not going to read these five pages to you, but if you look at the first paragraph, and I tried to incorporate the student learning outcomes into our attendance policy, because if you go into any classroom, you'll see that big maroon circle, and it says, think critically, collaborate,
citizenship.
And really, I think that's the bottom line, is that we want to help students learn the critical skills to be productive members of our community, and they can't do that if they're not in school. And so, as Principal Ogden indicated, we haven't taken the responsibility of the teachers out of the attendance policy, in that we are going to have the teachers deal with the tardy issue at the classroom level. And how they do that is starting class on time, having important information for the kids the bell ringers and just engaging curriculum. So I think that it's important that the teachers are still involved in the attendance policy, because I think some of them are really looking for, hey, I want to know what you're going to do if the kid isn't in my class. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to meet with the parents and try to find out what I can do to help the kid be in class. But it's also the teacher's responsibility to have class structured so that it's important for the students to be in attendance on time. So anyway, the focus of this, it goes through the definitions of tardies and absences and sluffs. And when we get to the legal consequences, it talks about how if a student is truant five or more times, they can be considered a habitual truant. And as Shane mentioned, Skyview's policy is moving away from, they went for every truancy, they required restitution. And now, if a student has five truancies, then they have to meet with an administrator and work out a contract to retain their credit. We felt like five truancies was too much latitude to give a student. And so, if you look at the school consequences, let's just turn to that, because that's just really all.
When you say 5 days with at least one or more truancy, are you talking about like you missed first hour and third hour? You don't have to miss the whole day, you're just missing classes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, on that third page where it says school consequences, if a student is truant, they're going to be required to make up that time. And they can do it either before school or after school, or during intervention / enrichment time.
I like that. No Saturday.
It's an hour for an hour, or 55 minutes for 55 minutes. And so before or after school, they could make up a truancy. If they do it during the intervention hour, it's going to take two of those half hours to make up a truancy. And so the nuts and bolts of how that'll work is we're going to have our attendance secretary notify, bless you, Jill, Mrs. Lowe, of the freshmen and juniors that are in that situation, and she'll notify me of the sophomores and seniors that are in that situation, and we'll set up meetings with their parents. But as it stands right now, If they have a truancy, they will not get credit in that class unless they make it up. There's an appeal process, and that will go through. If there's extenuating circumstances that we thought it was a truancy and the parents now verifying that it wasn't a truancy, we're not going to be unreasonable about that. But there'll be an appeal process through an assistant principal, and then the final decision will be made by the principal. So the folks... Go ahead.
And also draft. I would assume you probably just take Mrs. Connor's name out of there.
That's a great idea, because...
Yeah, that could be somebody else.
It may not be Mrs. Connor, but we don't want to have to redo it if we change her name. Right. So you'll say the attendant secretary.
Mm-hmm. Great catch.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, thank you. But as you look past that school consequences, we talked about the shared responsibility of the student, the parents, the teachers, and the administration all working together to see that the student is successful. And the last page talks about our athletes need to be in school the day of a competition unless they have a parental excuse or they won't be allowed to participate.
We are anticipating a little bit of kickback on that. You know, that's a little switch up from what we have had, because our athletes and those involved in extracurriculars have not been expected to be in school the day of a competition. And we just felt like that's pretty critical. You know, you're representing Logan High School elsewhere. You need to be representing Logan High School in the school as well.
But that was, when my son played football, that's the way it was. Even if you had an excused absence the day of a game, you didn't play.
Okay, so somewhere along the line, we lost that.
And we're just saying the truth.
Enforcement.
So,
and so, you know, if you had, you know, a physical therapy appointment for your son and you excused him, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about truancy, and we're just... I believe that it's good that truants should be representing the school the same day at least, and you give them chances to correct their behavior. But.
I just think I just heard something. Did you say, okay, if you have a truancy in a class, that unless you make up that truancy, you can't pass that class?
Correct.
That's correct. Okay. What, you know, I'm not arguing with it. I agree with you. But
Tommy, the deal is that we'll make every effort to help that student make up that.
Because you can it's possible to be absent one time and still have an A in that class. And that's what's going to happen, is that it's going to be like butting heads with the parents and with the student. How can you not let them? They still have an A.
It's not an excused absence. If the parent wants to excuse it, the kid will have credit. If the kid has a truancy, which is a SLUF, then that needs to be, he needs to make that up or she needs to make that up so that they can get the credit.
And that's where I think that faculty buy-in is so extremely important for that beginning of class. Because if those first 10 minutes don't count, I remember the first year I was at Logan High School, I had a student who had 12 tardies and had more than an A. He had more credits than he needed. And I thought, how can that possibly be? And then I realized that those first 10 minutes of class, there weren't points being earned. You know, there was discussion going on what we were going to do or whatever, but it wasn't that bell ringer that you turn this in, you do this, you do that, and they get points. And so, of course, they could get an A and be gone those 10 minutes anyhow. So, it's just my opinion.
Right, and it's getting well taken. You know, the class needs to be designed so that students know it's important to be
every
on time.
Single day. Yeah. There has to be, you have to be able to earn points.
We're going to proceed as if this is our policy. We will make it very clear to everybody that ultimately the board will be voting on it. We're going to ask that you guys vote on it in the next official board meeting to grant that, and so give some time to get some feedback. We have it posted on our website as well under students and academics. It's the first tab, and it says on there draft and proposed. So we're looking for some feedback and everything like that, but we want to be able to proceed with school starting next week and saying, guys, here's the way that we're planning on moving ahead. And you need to know up front that this is what we're going to be doing If the board decides to not approve that and to change it, then we'll let you know. I mean, we'll remediate whatever we need to. But we wanted to make sure that you guys had it before then, so you've got time to review it, look it over, get any feedback that you want to from stakeholders. We'll share all the information that we get back. We'll be sharing it with community council tomorrow night and getting it through those normal channels.
When will you unveil it with your faculty?
This week.
Okay.
So, Friday?
Tuesday. Yeah, probably Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Because that, as I have watched attendance policies over the year, and so much of it is administration enforcing things with educators, and you have those educators who don't have a tardy problem.
Right.
And even to a certain extent, truancy problems.
Right.
And then the others that their kids are out in the hall or whatever. And so, you know, I can see that your roles, it looks like it's Jill and Jim in many ways, and all three of you in more ways, that's such a crucial part. And I think if teachers feel that support and that it's, you know, everybody's on the same playing field, and this is the standard, and this is the expectation, I think you're going to get good support of it.
The only concern I have is that I hate to penalize students for teachers who are, and I hate to be critical, but I know that if you're doing an hour for an hour, that would require the teacher to be there prior to school or after school, which mm-hmm. they may say, I'm not here, that's not in my contract time.
Right.
So I'm going to only stay here during my contract time, and then that student never has to make up that time, you know, at 10 minutes at a time. So
right.
How are we going to not punish
the nice thing is we've got that intervention time now during the day. So at the very, it will take 2 days at the longest if they utilize that, because all they have to do is be working with that teacher during their and they still have their half hour lunch.
As long as the teacher's not going to be doing. You know, they're not assigned
right.
to do something else during that
interview. Right. If they have their ninth graders that hour, then they probably would not be able. Well, they could. They could have that kid still sitting in there doing something, even while they're working with their 10 to 12 ninth graders. So I still think that's possible.
Also, you know, under tardies, and I don't know if this, can we talk about tardies here now?
Sure.
Okay. It said students considered tardy if he or she is not in the classroom. So will that be the standard for all the classrooms? Because some teachers say you're tardy if you're not in your seat, or you're tardy if you're...
Teachers are told that they have to put that in their syllabus so the students know what that teacher is.
Do they get to choose, or is this the, can everyone have the same?
They can choose. We are not mandating for them what a tardy is, that you're in your seat when the bell rings versus just walking through the door.
So then shouldn't it say a student is considered tardy when the teacher says the teacher is tardy?
We probably need to indicate there according to the teacher's syllabi.
Because there's a contradiction up there when you say that tardies will be dealt with by the teacher, but then you define what a tardy is.
And we'll all look through this because some of us are into writing.
Yeah.
I want to compliment you because it is a good document. Previously, our attendance policy was just the font it was written in. I had to say, no, we can't have it in that font. But I appreciate, and it's like you said, Jim, the research-based approach with it and everything else. It's kind of hard to argue with research.
Mr. Peacock has done a lot of work on this, and so, you know, that document is his, so he's done a great job.
You know, Jim, think about a long time ago faculty meetings where what I liked about this is it doesn't place the blame on tardies, and especially tardies, on the teacher. If I can remember sitting in a faculty meeting and being told that it was our fault, you know, as a teacher, it was our fault that the kids were all tardy. And it was like, so we just better take care of it. You know, and some people go, okay, well, we won't mark them tardy. I'm sorry. Of course, I wouldn't do that. But this just says, you know, the school's going to have a policy. I like that.
Fantastic. Any other questions for Ms. Walton?
Thanks, everyone.
I think you have support from us.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I told you earlier, but he, I don't know if board members know, but he sent out a postcard to all students indicating the dress code policy that will be enforced, and I really thought that's a great way for all students to be aware that we do have dress code policy.
Back-to-school shopping.
They tried to get it out before back-to-school shopping and said, as you're doing your shopping, please keep these factors in mind.
Yeah, which was great. I loved it. So I look forward to a successful exciting year. And please let us know if there's anything we can do.
Okay. Can I have a couple more minutes, just real quick?
Yes, please.
I just want to share with you one other real quick success that we had was our freshman survival days. You know, it was so much fun. What we did is we went out and made our freshman visits, we hand-delivered a personal invitation to each of our kids to come for 2 days, just in the mornings, and get to know the high school. And during that time, not only did we give them their schedules, their lockers, we made sure that their lockers worked, we made sure that they're big enough that they can't get stuffed in them. You know, everything that freshmen are afraid of, we were able to address and talk about, okay, seniors aren't going to have lockers down here by you, and you know, we were able to have some of those discussions. Then we had about 2 hours after we did a tour with them where they got to run their schedules. So they got in their groups and they were with their friends, and they walked class one, class two, class three. Oh, where are you at third hour? Okay, this is where we're going to meet. You know, I was just able to see the magic stairway, and some people are like, I still never found the magic stairway. But you know, the feedback that we got from the kids were, it was so good, because I was worried, when am I going to see that friend? And I mean, social side, they're so nervous about coming anyway, that not knowing where their friend is and that they are going to have that lifeline to their friend. So we gave them time doing that. Then we spent some time with them and we talked about basic policies. We talked attendance, we talked dress code, we talked about what is expected. Our theme was the Grizzly Way. And that's going to kind of be one of our themes throughout the years. You know, the Grizzly Way, we had a guest speaker come in, Jordan Ballum, came in and talked with them and was able to share with them that, you know, they're being watched no matter where you're at. People know you're a grizzly, you're wearing a grizzly shirt, you're expected to behave a certain way because it's the Grizzly Way. And we talked about academics, all the amazing things that we've done, and we expect them to continue that. We talked about graduation. You've got to be looking out for each other. When you look around, we have about 110 total freshmen attend, and we said, you know, look around, because some of you will want to not graduate. But it's up to the rest of you guys to pull that person along and say, no, you're going to do it. We're going to get this done. We talked to them about studying skills. We talked about test-taking preparation. We talked to them about getting along. All of a sudden, you are going to have 7 different teachers, and it might change and have 7 more different teachers the next semester. What are you going to do when teachers have different personalities? How are you going to behave with that? How do you read the teacher well enough to know what you need to be doing? We just did note-taking skills. We did a lot of work with them and played some games with them and let them use their cell phones to answer questions for us. And I mean, we really had a great time for those 2 mornings that we did it. And I was just excited coming away thinking, you know what? These kids are so much better off than I ever was going as a 10th grader into a high school. They're so much better off. I think that they have some security now with them. In the last couple days, Jim's had a phone call, and I've had 2 phone calls of kids because we gave them our numbers, and they said, hey, is the school going to be open? I want to come walk my schedule one more time today, because we encouraged them to do that. And so I think we're trying to help that transition piece from middle school to high school, and that's just one more tool that we chose to use this year to try and help transition.
110. I know the class is much larger than that.
It is.
So was everyone invited?
Everyone was invited.
Because it wasn't expected.
Sure.
They were freshman orientation.
Yep, we're still doing the Grizz Academy, their first phase, so I mean, they'll get to do that. They won't have the 2 hours of running the building and figuring out where their friends are, but hopefully those 100 kids that were there can help them and make that a lot easier transition. And the other thing with Grizz Academy is that, you know how all of our freshmen will be assigned a teacher for their home base during interventions? We're running it a little differently this year. They will actually be with that teacher forging those relationships from day one. So as they go through the tour and everything like that, they're actually going to be working with their homeroom teacher, with their home base teacher. And so instead of going on a tour with, you know, it used to be 100 kids on each tour, they'll have 10 to 12. But we'll have 60 little tours going on during that time. But I think it's exciting. I think we're still have lots of things to do, but we've got to find a better way of transitioning 8th grade to 9th grade.
What time will that start on Friday if we want to make?
Grizz Academy starts at 7:30, so regular school day.
And does it go all day?
It goes all day. Most of the activities are in the morning before lunch. After lunch, they will be running their schedules and visiting with each of their teachers.
So it's Friday the 20th?
Friday the 23rd.
Okay.
They just meet in the auditorium at the first day, meet in the girls' gym?
We don't have the location all worked out. So Gordon Geddes, one of our teachers, he's the one that's putting together Grizz Academy. And so we haven't had a chance to get back together and iron out the specific agenda.
Great. Very good.
You bet.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
Thank you for the
do.
Cookie.
Oh, they're tasty, aren't they?
I haven't had a chance to eat it yet.
Oh, well, you better try it. They're pretty tasty. Well, thank you once again. We appreciate all you do and look forward to a fantastic year. And let's know if we'll be visiting Woman High this year. It's on our list of schools to visit, so that will have to come to us.
Go Grizzly.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks.
With permission from the board, I would like to kind of adjust our agenda. And it seems that we have Alex here from Zion and go now into our regular meeting. Do I need a motion to go to regular meeting again?
I would move to amend the agenda.
Okay.
I would second that.
All right. I have a motion made by Ann to amend our agenda and go to regular meeting, seconded by Lynn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Now we are in regular meeting. We're going to go to item number B1, and I'll turn the time over to Marshall.
As you know, in order to ensure we meet all of the legal requirements for a bond election, which you in May stated that we wanted to go to, we've been working with Alex as well as with Kevin Cutler on the process. There's a resolution that needs to be done tonight, one in regard to the bond and one in regard to the levy. In discussions with Glenn Bjerke from Chapman Cutler, there is a requirement to have a public hearing as part of this process. They have recommended that instead of having that at the same time as the resolution, that we have a passing of the resolution now, and then we set a date for the public hearing, which we are recommending for 6 o'clock on September the 10th, which is going to be a normal work session. We will then go into regular session until 6 to hold a public hearing on, which we will make your final vote for the bond election. But tonight we'll do, and I'm going to turn the time over to Alex to refute anything that I may be saying that is wrong.
Right on target.
That we've got to get specific language into the Lieutenant Governor's office 75 days prior to the election, which is the third week in August. So that's one of the reasons why the resolution portion is today, to allow us to have that communication with the Lieutenant Governor's office. In under board book, you see two parts. One didn't have anything in it. That's what we had originally. We chose to keep that, and then we showed you what was sent to us in our revised with the actual amounts in it, and then the language that is going for, that we're proposing for the election. So you have had that in front of you. Alex, if you want to take over.
Sure. I think that was a great summation of what we're doing here. I've got with me five signature copies of both resolutions that Superintendent put this up here. So this isn't as good as the cookie, but pretty good. I didn't know we were going to be like this. I have this for your little spot over there.
Okay. He had provided us with four different options for the payments. That was important to have a discussion on, because in the wording of the bond, we must put down what an estimated amount for an average-sized house, what the yearly cost of that would be. And obviously, depending on what our bid-ask schedule is, that is what we chose to go with a middle of the ground process. Again, it's an estimate. It is a 1 year process where you look at the entire life of the bond. Look, we're paying just a little less than $4 million, but we chose to go, if you look at the visual that we have, we chose to go with an initial payment that will have principal and interest. We had a concern about just doing interest only because of the overall cost to our taxpayers. We wanted to minimize that, and so we went with a higher amount, but then consistent. So in the first 5 years of the issuance, that would begin. That's where we're talking about our Logan High project. Starting in 2019, we have the payoff of our existing bonds. So at that point, it's principal, and then we also are doing some principal, and so it's, at that, we will have finished Logan High School, and we will have then started the issuance on Hillcrest Elementary School and Ellis Elementary School. Okay. So it will be a flat across. Now, the theory is that during those years, that assessed valuation will go up. Every time assessed valuation, if there's an assumption, that's why we should go up, the individual homeowners' property taxes actually will decrease. But there will be an initial increase that first year. Obviously, that's within the year. But from that point on, the actual cost to the taxpayer will be, we have projected it out, that actually will start decreasing at that point all the way through the 20 years of the issuance of bonds. But we have to, by law, say what the worst case scenario would be under this payback schedule, and that is what we have to show, and that's what is shown in our bond.
Yeah. On the bond. Let me just add to what the superintendent's saying. Specifically, on a $170,000 $176 home, which is according to the county, exactly the average home, and the ballot language rounds it to 170 even, but it's 170,396. Using our best guess with respect to interest rates, and our best guess with respect to the taxable value increase that superintendent's talking about, and we've tried to be relatively conservative. We've used a 2% increase for 5 years, and then a 1% increase, and then no increase. Hopefully, throughout the life of the bond, you'll just see a little increase every year. But we've only shown 10 years of taxable value increases. But anyway, that initial impact based on current interest rates, and we don't know where rates are going to be at the exact time that you issue bonds, and so really the best thing we can do is just say, okay, where are our current rates, and we actually added a little bit, about 20 basis points, to give us a little bit of more conservative estimate, but that initial tax impact is $73.03
per $6 a month.
Which is about $6 a month. But then, and what the ballot doesn't say, But what we can relay to your taxpayers is, if all else, you know, if everything stays the way we think it will with respect to increase in valuation, the following year there'll be a $3.64 decrease, and then a $3.29 decrease, and then a $3.41 decrease every year. $3.23, $1.77, $1.52, $1.60. So every year that'll start to go back down, but according to, you know, legally, we have to say what that initial impact is, which is that $73.
But could that potentially not happen based on factors that are out of our control, such as
if the assessed valuation goes down, all of our taxes go up. That's going to happen a few years ago. It's less than the amounts. I mean, these are, again, these are estimates, but they're based on very conservative figures, as conservative as we felt we could be, and realistic as we felt we could be. But again, as we look at this, we think that it is only the 73 for this, a little over $6 a month. And that was, again, part of this board, as we looked at the overall amounts, and we went for the $55 million, the direction back for Zane and I to work with Zion on trying to minimize the total impact of this one on our constituents. And we feel that we have come back with one that, again, is realistic and that we can share. By law, we'll have it there. We will then also have to share what the possibility could be in this decrease. So we're going to have two pictures, one that is here, but we also want to share with them what the picture would look like for them over time, that there is a good chance that will actually decrease.
Right. I was just going to show this, if I could. This was the other structure that we were discussing with Zane and with the superintendent, which would have an initial increase when the first series of bonds would be issued next year, and then we'd hold that, we'd defer most of the principal until that second series of bonds would be issued in 2019, and that's also when some of the existing debt drops, and we'd fill that in. And so you can see there's two steps, two increases as opposed to the one. And when the superintendent's talking about being conservative, that's correct, because if we were to use this scenario, the actual tax impact that we put on the ballot would be less. It would be less, because we would be able to take advantage of all of these years of taxable value increases, which would lower the impact to your taxpayers. And so when you take the average, the ballot language would actually show a smaller number. Over the long term, you pay more because you're deferring principal. So you're paying more here, but on the flip side, you're able to show a smaller taxable value, but the reality is it doesn't give as clean a picture as if you go this route, which is what Zane and Marshall suggested, was let's just do the one increase and then just keep it level the whole way. There'll never be another increase. And they may gripe about that first increase, but then every year you can remind them, hey, did you see that your debt levy went down $3 this year, and the very next year, and the very next year, and the very next year. So
the overall cost for our patrons in the long term is less under this,
even though you have to tell them that it's a bigger jump initially, because it is a bigger jump, because we're trying to keep it all level. So I think it is certainly the more conservative approach, and I give kudos to Zane and Marshall for wanting to go that route.
And Alex, are our hands tied with the second issuance of the bond when we do the elementary schools? Because we've delayed that for a couple of years after we do the high school. But if we had some
They wanted to speed it up, could we do that
without changing any of the dialogue in this bond?
You could. And Chapman and Cutler, you know, can verify this, but legally the only thing that has to be done is what you present is what you anticipate is going to happen right now. And if things change, if valuations go up and you decide, hey, God, we could handle this in 2017, or, you know, you have the ability to do that. You just have to be able to say, when we had the bond election,
this is what we know.
But it could change if
exactly.
That happens, yes. If we go and ask for
Correct.
If we change the total amount initially.
Yeah, now if you change, if something changes dramatically, you know, there's a chance people could come back 3-4 years from now and say, hey, you guys said this and that, then you'd have to explain to them why you went this route. But as far as legally, as long as we present what we feel is going to be the plan at this point, that's the only thing we can do. The other thing is, you know, we're assuming interest rates that we have no idea what the interest rate's going to be. We don't know if rates are going to be lower next year than now, or, you know, higher in 2019 than next year. I mean, you just have to make a best guess. And rates have spiked up, and so we're actually using the spiked up rates. So we're not trying to use the rates. When we did our refunding earlier this year, rates were much lower. And, you know, rates have jumped up about 100 basis points since then, about 4%. And we're using the higher rates now. I mean, we're trying to use what current rates are. Hopefully those will go back down. I mean, we just don't know next year or the year after or whenever what
but
rates are going to be.
But the rate is so much better than the last time we had a bond election. It's just
right.
Amazing the
right.
difference.
Right.
It's still good, but
it was better.
But you took advantage of that refunding.
Yeah.
Seriously, in the nick of time, because after we closed the
right
Logan
after.
School District refunding, and we had about 2 or 3 others that we closed, we had several that we just had to take off the table and say, let's wait until rates rebound, and we haven't refunded those still. So a lot of our clients are still out waiting to try to refund those bonds. We hit it right when we could, really. I mean, literally, rates just started jumping up.
Crystal ball.
That's right. Yeah.
So is the language, and you don't probably have this in front of you now, but the language, as I understand it, on the ballot is page 25, which is just the official ballot for the Board of Education section. And then if you go below it, it says section 5, section 6, section 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That information won't necessarily appear on the ballot, but it will be part of the information that the voter can access via our web page, or we certainly want them to be able to read that, but it won't be
this
on
actually,
the ballot.
This actually, as you'll notice, is what you will be signing off on.
That will be part of
our board minutes.
Okay, but this information from section is just for...
This proposition, official ballot language, which is found on page 25, is a portion of the overall thing that you will be signing tonight of the resolution. That's if you were on board book.
This page, right?
So
that's the paper with notes.
Morphed from this right here.
That is what you see on that page is what will be on the
ballot.
Okay.
This is the ballot sections 1 through, this is the end of section 4, what it is, and then section 5. So you're signing after all of the sections, after section 11. You as board president and all board members will be signing this document, and that's what you're, after your vote of the resolution, those signatures will be there.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Right. Perfect. So the voter won't necessarily see that.
That is for you to verify
to the
that
yes. Right. Yes.
Now, that's for the bond. The levy is we are basing upon exactly what the requirements are, and it just talks about a percentage increase. I mean, an amount by quadruple. 0.748. what that means in terms of funding is approximately a little over $60 a year in increase. So you look at that, it's about $5 a month for that. So the combination of the two is just a little over $11 a month that we are asking our public for the two. $5 for the levy and a little over $6 for the bond.
Okay, so say that again. So we're still basing on the $173,000 house, and the levy will be how much per year?
It's approximately $60.
Oh, that's
right. So $5, a little over $5. I think it's like $63 is the calculation. So it's just $5 and change for the other. So, but the combination of the two is $12 a month. Mm-hmm. So we still realize that that is a challenge. It is not the type of challenge that some of the other districts that are looking at right now for their bond elections.
You saw Jordan, right? 495.
Yeah. It's
495 million.
Yeah, 495 million dollar bond. I'm so glad just the whole. Isn't it 495 million is what the fund?
And is it one? Like 100 million of that for one high school?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, property value.
So between the two different, you know, the 55 million and then the increase of the automotive levy, we have tried to get that down for our taxpayers to the lowest possible level that we could. It's still a lot. We realize that. We tried to structure it so that again, as assessed valuation goes up, those rates will actually decrease over time,
mm-hmm.
but there would be an additional amount. The levy would start being, once approved in November, it would be approved that we could look at that money as of July 1st, 2014 as available. So as we do fiscal year 15 budget, if it's approved by the voters in November, that money would then be able to be counted on for that year.
So we have the election in November. It's not available until July 1st.
That's correct.
Can we sell bonds before then?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bonds is a separate issue. We could literally do it the next day. We won't be. We're still in the process of the design work, and I'll talk to you.
Okay.
About
so
that
we're later. Talking about calendar year budget.
Correct.
With the levy. But bonds could immediately take place.
Right.
The problem
we decide to issue
when
them.
We are making the determination to start digging, mm-hmm. that's when we will work on the issuance, and we will do that, watching the rates and the timing. We have some flexibility because of our surpluses in our capital that we could actually need to start construction prior to that, knowing that, you know, we need a little bit more time so that we can really hit that market correct. Our goal is to, again, get the lowest possible rate and the best possible deal.
Right.
And we've been able to be lucky so far, and fortunate so far, and we're hoping that we can continue that.
That's great.
So with that, we need two resolutions.
Yes. Yep.
To add the wording is here, so we would, in a motion, we would have to move a resolution providing authority to meet the repo. On the levy, it's a little over $5.
A little over $5, and on the bond, it's a little bit $7.
So
six.
The combination of the
okay.
two is a little less than 12.
Okay, I take it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
I'll make the motion if you're invited.
Thanks.
And is that good?
Oh, wait, I
have to read it. A resolution providing for the holding of a local special bond election in Logan City School District, Utah, for the purpose of submitting to the qualified electors of the school district the question of the issuance and sale of $55 million general obligation school building bonds, providing for the holding of a public hearing and the publication of a notice of public hearing, and providing for related matters.
All right, I have a motion for the resolution made by Ann. Do I have a second?
A second.
I have a second by Connie. Any further questions? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that resolution passes. All right, now I need a motion on the second resolution.
And where is that located?
Number two.
Number two.
Okay. I would move. If someone, go ahead.
Oh, it's a message I don't have pulled up.
Okay. I make a motion for action on a resolution providing for the holding of a special voted local levy election in the district for the purpose of submitting to the qualified electors thereof the question of authorizing a modification of the voter local levy by increasing the annual tax rate of the voter local levy by .00748 per dollar of taxable value for the purpose of maintaining the state-supported local levy and providing for related matters.
Did he do enough zeros? I got a short one. Zero.
Yeah. I said zero, zero, zero.
I said, I used always a zero, zero.
Oh, zero, zero, zero.
Thank you.
748.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion for the action on resolution made by Jim, seconded by Lynn. Any further discussion? Seeing that, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, both of those resolutions have passed.
Chapman Cutler will be providing the notification of that public hearing on the 20th, and then on the 20th.
It should be in the calendar, and that's why I Marshall and Zane are familiar with this calendar, but I just made a few copies for you guys. We've been working with them in trying to get everything on the on one calendar so we can make sure that we've got all the notices in and publications and everything that we need to do. We don't want to have happen what happened up the street, right? We want to make sure we do everything exactly.
So we make sure we put it on the wall.
I think I made five or six, but I don't
have to.
The one question I had is the materials, did Brian work with you on the exact amount in that first $170,000 house? It has to show the amounts, and I didn't see the final one with those amounts in it.
Are we talking
in the resolution you're having your signed?
Oh, tonight. Yeah, it's all in there, yes.
So we need to have that tonight signed?
You don't have to have it signed tonight. I mean, you might as well because you're all here.
Is it okay if you leave it with us?
I'll leave it with you guys, okay. And then if you can get it back to Ryan, just
let it
back. I'll give you this so you have the address that came in. So I'll leave both of these with Stacy and Mark.
Any other questions?
I'll be seeing you again. I'll be coming up probably for the public hearing and the procedure resolution that we'll do a few weeks after that. So.
Very good. Connie?
This question may be out of order, it may be out of place, just tell me. You know, the headline in the newspaper that says the bond doesn't pass, cash doesn't know what to do, that's not going to happen to us, is it?
No.
We do not, okay.
We will continue on the design work of Lawrence High School specifically, okay. And at that point we would then look at what we could do within our existing funding. And
that's
still has to be done. Logan High School must be done.
Right.
We know that Ellis must be done. We know that Hillcrest. And we will regroup and do what we can up until we have a chance to go back out to the voters.
Right.
Obviously, during that time frame, we would review with them what it is that they had the concerns on and work on those and come back to the electorate.
Thank you.
The earliest would be...
Hear that out loud.
And we are the power of positive thinking, so we...
Yes.
Ours is a different situation. Because we're not building new high schools. We are replacing, we're majorly remodeling a building that has a 1930s edition, a 1960s edition, and one that is well over 100 years old, that does not meet structurally or seismically or in any of the infrastructure of that building allowing our students.
I just wanted to hear it out loud, because during our meetings, it seems like bits and pieces of this, you know, have all come out. Is it like we're going to be fine, but just to have it all said at one time?
If the electric wants us to do, then we will regroup in that way, but we are still going ahead with our design work, and we will still see how we can do that within our existing. Can't do as much, but we can do some others.
I think that's such good karma it's going to pass.
Oh, yeah, so it's when it happens, not if.
That's right.
So thank you, Alex.
Thank you, and thanks for moving the schedule around. That was nice of you guys.
No problem.
My kids will thank you as well, making coming in tonight. I did get a cookie. I left you guys some nuts that you can pass around. Stacy, will you? Okay, we'll see you guys
soon.
I will. Yeah, sorry I didn't make enough copies of that.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
One thing I'd like to see is when we start holding these meetings, we have everything down accurately. I know when we first talked about it, when the previous meeting we had.
Well, we had different numbers because at that point we didn't have the average. Now we have the average. Now that we've made the determination of what the payment structure is, so that's now cemented. We've got that. Working with MHPN to assist us in providing the documentation. We're working on a brochure, an informational one as well. They're also working with the Friends of Logan City Schools on the promotional side as well. So we'll have very clear, and everything will have the same number. We do feel it's important on our information to have some explanation. We're trying to do it. This is the part because we all know the differences and all the challenges with the test valuation and everything. That's outside of the realm of most people as they're looking at this. So to try to show them that assessed valuation goes up, we're trying to do some visuals to say as it goes up, your costs go down is really what we're trying to do. And then have the opportunity for more detail if someone wants to go into that detail.
Sometimes you talk about having the legal ad with an explanation ad next to it. Is that something you're still considering?
Yeah, we'll do that. Again, the challenge on that is make it so that it's truthful, because we don't want
our existing
misinformation or having this information to our public. But there's a complexity here that we've got to honor having someone to have to do.
My husband just said, explain it to me, and I said, that then he's an accountant. They're not stuck.
I hope the evaluations are a little closer than what I
Would you have to have yours read in?
Well, they just give me an evaluation. It was $190,000 more than it cost me to build while they were
explaining. No, mine actually went down this year.
Mine went up.
Mine stayed the same.
But the evaluation in your house, your thing?
Yeah. Good thing. No, that's good. Yeah, assessed valuation, it's been interesting because the world is different now because we have assessed valuation every single year. And so if the fluctuation potential is this year, the projection is assessed valuations are going up minimally within, you know, Logan is in the billions of dollars and it's only going up, I believe, $15 or $20 million. But it doesn't include what's going to happen with the new house. Doesn't include what's happening with Sportsman. So there's some areas within the business side of Logan that is increasing. Shriver's was the irony of Shriver's is not Shriver's, excuse me, Gosner's, is that all the in two separate parcels. Everything to the south of where the guest area is, where you can go and buy things, is in Logan, pre-1998. All of the new additions that they've just made are in Cache County School District because they are, they were annexed after 1998. So their property is split, and I don't know how this county, you know, I don't know if they divided half, if it was half a building or what, but part of that building is in Logan City School District, part of that building is in Cache County School District.
Why didn't they just take care of that somehow with
the... That's all on Main Street.
Okay.
And that was going to be my question, because Logan City is gaining some businesses, but losing some businesses, how does that affect us on our tax rate?
They have not come back. We have asked for an analysis of what that will be. Part of the challenge, and I don't know how, some of that land has been in redevelopment.
It has been.
And so I don't know how that's playing into this transfer.
You know what? Most of the redevelopment land is North Logan land. And it's interesting because that's in Logan City redevelopment. And so it's changed. Because of course it's right by where I live. Well, actually, the redevelopment goes from 18th to the car dealers. And actually there's nothing north of the Auto Mall Road.
Having Jack's Tires in that area there. They said it was going to be a wash. I mean, when they stated it's a wash.
Well, my question is, what's Cache County School District going to do with it? Because technically they can say, well, you did now, they have to tell us here.
Anything at this point, because it's going into the county. That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, we need to find that out.
It is all commercial, but...
Yeah, and commercial, we said, was a different animal than kids.
Interesting.
So we need to look
at
that.
There might be a bargaining chip.
There might be a bargaining chip there.
Because
otherwise, that is our property along there.
Yes.
You know, we could say, we're not giving you where Target's going to go in.
Boundaries do not change with the change in...
Correct.
And technically, I think, because that most of that was annexed before 1998.
Yeah, most of that is...
Clear along, you know, it was the weird boundary. But part of that should be our tax base in North Logan City. So we really need to look at that.
Yeah.
Because we may have a bargaining chip for some of these pieces that are within Logan City.
Thank you.
So, you know, we can run it through, Dave, and some of that, because, you know, that's one of the... Especially since I live on the property lines there.
And we're actually meeting with the mayor on the 19th, so this will be good.
Will you be talking about closing this first?
We're also looking at the discussion on their involvement in anything that we're doing with the high school in terms of the city.
One of my concerns that I run up to the superintendent is that my friends who live along 2nd East in the north end of town just received a notice that they're going to start doing construction on 2nd East. Of course, it's right when school closes starts. And so that's another big discussion for them.
But we do have, Mount Logan Middle School has made the contingencies on parking, and that the parking in the front, that small, not where the large circle is, but the small circle by the library, just east of the library, will have to be closed. That is where our severe special ed students are dropped off, so they have worked with Cache Transportation for another placement for them so that they can get up on the south end of the building. There's the ramp that goes to the cafeteria, so that will be the temporary process for them.
And some of our irrigation is impacted with a whole lot of noise. That means a whole lot of watering.
That they're not supposed to deal with that corner until after the water is supposed to be off, which is not great.
Are we still scheduled? I'm hearing a lot of things. The roundabout is out.
Roundabout is out. There will be lights at 10 p.m.
There's a roundabout on 6th North. So if you hear about a roundabout, that's probably referring to 6th North.
Well,
there is a roundabout on 2nd and 10th.
Yeah.
Because of all
2nd and 5th.
The roundabout is second.
And fifth.
Okay, yeah, that's.
No, not a tenth.
Not a tenth.
Not a tenth. There will be a light. There will be, it will be a four lane tight spot of the sign. That will be.
Thank you.
That will not
that's
be.
By my house.
I don't know what's happening out east, farther east, though, Connie. That one farther east, I'm not sure what.
But I know it's like.
Is there tearing down houses and other things that they're redevelopment? I don't know what they're trying to get the, what used to be the purple driveway.
Right.
They're trying to get that realigned, and I'm not sure what they're doing with that.
That's what I thought was going to be around.
That might be around that.
I don't know what that is.
That's sixth and tenth, yeah.
Second and tenth, it is going to be, there will be a four-way light, wood turn light.
What is happening, okay, is you go down second, and then all of a sudden they could just take the drop off. What do they have to ask?
They're actually going to, extending second all the way to third south.
Right.
Eventually across the river.
What are they building there? What are they going to do? I mean, that's a drop off. What if, you know.
There's supposed to be a roundabout at that as well.
It's a takeoff now. Get your cars. Jump right
there on. You used to go off of that at one time.
You know what's so strange is that you drive around your own neighborhood and you go, that was weird, and then it takes you 2 days to realize that the house on the corner's gone.
All right, that's for our agenda. Sorry. Okay, number three, please. Marshall.
You have some information as an action sheet from Zane, and again, excusing Zane, he is actually on vacation.
You're taking the vacation day.
Her mother and father to take her on a trip prior to starting college, and they're back. They left last night for Washington, D.C., and they'll be gone for a week. So that's where he is right now. Our current plan for our flex spending, which again is a process for pre-tax dollars to be put away for either child care or for minor medical glasses, prescription drugs, et cetera. The process we've had on that is that there was a charge to the district and there was also a charge to the individual person, employee, at $4 a month if they wanted to use a debit card. They could still do if they wanted to put in receipts and receive a payment at that point, they could do that with no charge, but most everyone chose to do a debit card. We have been working with American Fidelity over the last couple of years to assist us in working with our individual employees on their benefits and rights and what they need to do, what Obamacare is and that. They came to the district with a proposal for a flex spending that does not cost the district, nor does it cost the individual employee. In that discussion, Zane did do a comparison, but did not give me those specifics. In talking with Christine and Jim, President and Vice President, a question came up from Christy in regards to what USDA could potentially offer because of the potential assistance through a company here in Utah. I don't have that answer. And so as we talk about this one, what we'd like to do is instead of approving this tonight is for you to allow me to get some information from USDA, get that back to you in a phone poll and determining whether we go with American Fidelity or whether we hold and see if we go with USDA.
Do we know if USDA does the debit card?
That's one of the
because
things.
Because I would think we need to check on the debit card. Because
the debit card and the cost of the individual. We do need to change from our current system this year because it's not fair to our employees. If we have an option of no cost, we need to provide them an option.
Could we do a motion of tentative approval of going with a changing company to a company that can provide better service, i.e. a debit card with no charge, pending best services type thing. Could we do something like that so that you can, because I look at people are going to be signing up for stuff.
We need to have it decided because open enrollment starts on Thursday.
I know, and that's why I wondered if we could have a kind of an authorization allowing you to go with the best company, asking you to look at both of those.
I was a little more comfortable doing phone calls, but...
Okay, I just know we're in a time crunch here.
Well, unless we have the approval that we are going to make a change and to a company pending, and that is...
A phone poll.
But I would then get the information back to you.
And then we make you omnipotent.
And then you just say, I would give you the information, mm-hmm. and you then tell me, I feel we need to go with, and then I would double check. If we don't have unanimity between you, then I would get back to you.
Hold it. I feel more comfortable with the telephone poll if we made a motion approving the telephone poll pending this information,
so
rather than just
going,
we're not
change.
Doing the public working.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. I want to do the public's business in public. So I would like to make a motion. Can I see stating that we would like to...
We're going to have to do this any... We could not find on record where we did this with our former company, but we've been with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are making a change, this has to still be on record regardless of what company we go with.
I would make a motion that we change our flexible fringe benefits plan to a different company this year. That company to be determined by additional research by you and Zane, and that we may have a telephone vote on which of those companies it is.
But you probably couldn't have Zane's name in there if he's on vacation. You'd have to have just say the administration.
Administration, because Adam could use all the research. So,
okay, I have a motion made by Ann.
I'll second it.
Okay,
I would like to make
Lynn. Further comments?
Yes, I would like to make an amendment to that, that it's a telephone or email vote.
What?
We have email
votes.
Yeah. That leaves it
to
record.
The email vote, I think, is
a better record.
Okay, I have a friendly amendment to add email to Anne's originally.
Okay, friendly amendment.
Okay, so I have a second on the friendly amendment, right?
Well, I approve the amendment. She's getting it.
Okay. All right. Seconded by Lynn as well. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I know we just approved that, but I asked Marcia to check into because being effective here.
I wanted the same thing.
It's a good thing to support them.
I know he has done something, but I don't have the data for it.
And we just had a discussion at our board meeting last week that indicated that. Paula indicated that they have the best program in the country, and they have companies,
outside of Utah,
coming in to use ours because it's such a great value for what you get. So I see no reason why we shouldn't support USDA if we can, because that money just eventually funnels back into making better board members. So I was really hopeful that we'll be able to use that. Thank you. All right, and now we're going to move to our consent calendar, which is number A under number 2. Do I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
I move that we accept the consent calendar.
Okay, I have a motion made by Connie.
Second.
Second by Ann. The motion's been made to approve the consent calendar, which includes action on extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's right. Approved.
All right. Now I need a motion to go back into work session.
So moved.
And made by Lynn Hoff.
So seconded.
Seconded by Jim Blair. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And as a my authority to do so, I'm calling a 5-minute break. I don't know what that's called.
Getting our
Why did you call it right before you started?
But the power invested in one, that's what you're saying.
The power invested in me.
Now a 5 minute break.
I'm going to do that. I don't know what the word.
Yes, they would have one more speed and watch for my crossing. And then behind my, my desk.